Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
It's funny how it kind of works out. Now, Pastor John has been going through some of these last few weeks. He's been talking about different spiritual multipliers, and that all the words that he uses start with S, whether it be sacrifice or surrender or what was the one from this morning? Service, that's it. So I'm going to follow in that lead and have another one, stress. It's not really the same, but you know, here we go. I want to talk to you tonight from this idea, stress or rest. Just look at your neighbor and ask that. Say, do you have stress or do you have rest? Have you ever looked at somebody, you go up to them, maybe at church or something here, and you ask them, hey, how are you doing? And they look at you and they say, just living the dream. And you secretly know they're not living the dream, maybe. They say, their mouth says living the dream, but their eyes say help. Please. Or even worse, maybe not somebody you has told you that. Maybe you've told somebody else that apparently is the case. That's why I'm getting hollered at over here from this section over here. Because it would be a stupid question to ask tonight, who in here has experienced stress or who has ever been stressed out? Because we all have been in that place. We've all been stressed out. So tonight I want to talk about how I believe that the Bible shows that as believers, as the children of God, God has made a way for us to not have to live a life of being stressed out or experience anxiety. God has made a way for us to be free from that. Not only is that important for you, or is that important for your family or your relationship with God, but listen to me. As we talk about this year, launching out, reaching out to this city, praying that God would transform the city around us, what better tool of evangelism is there than to be a person who carries the peace of God in the midst of a troublesome world? Come on. What better tool is there to you that you carry the kingdom, the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost inside of you? What better tool is there to reach the lost and dying world around you? Amen. So tonight, do we have stress or do we have rest? If you have Matthew 11, let's look at verse 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does it mean to be stressed out? The definition of stressed means this. It means to be very tense or anxious or worried because of the circumstances that you are facing. So a stressed out person is the person that Jesus is addressing here in this verse when he says, come to me, all who labor and all who are heavy laden, all those who experience stressful times, all of those who experience moments of anxiety, come to me, and he says, and I will give you rest. Rest, that is the contrast in this verse, into this phrase. He is telling you what his solution is to stress. You bring him stress, and he will give you rest in exchange. And we have rest. We know that we have rest. We know that we have peace. It's part of our inheritance as believers that we have that in the Holy Spirit. Luke 17 tells us that Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you and is among you. And Romans 14, 17 says that kingdom is not meat or drink. It is not necessarily something that you can lay your hands on, but it is righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost, amen. So now we're presented with a dilemma. I have peace, but I need it to manifest in my life. I have rest available to me, so how do I lay hold of it? It's akin to in Ephesians 1 when Paul writes that we have been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But how many of you know sometimes you need those spiritual blessings to come out of the heavenly places and pay that light bill? Okay? Or fill up the gas tank. Just the same, we need the peace or the rest of God when we feel stressed out. And so there's three things that Jesus points us to in this verse. And if you're taking notes, you can write them down. The first one is this. He tells us, come to me. Verse 28, come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden. Because here's the reality. When you're stressed out, you're going to go to something. You'll come to something. It just depends on what it is. Are the things that you go to, are they good or are they bad? Are they alcohol? Are they drugs? Are they social media? Are they video games? Are they your phone? Are they another person? We're not necessarily talking about that that's a bad thing. You, as a person of responsibility and as a mature person, need to have outlets where you can decompress and detox and de-stress in your life. You need a moment to escape kind of the craziness of the world around you, and you need those moments to maintain your peace. But what we're talking about is you can either go to God or you can go to things to help you to avoid the problems in the life around you. Avoidance is the term that is used now in mental health circles as something that you take something that helps you to escape, something that's going to help you along, and you turn it into something bad that you caught, and it causes you now to ignore the things that you're supposed to be facing, the things that you're supposed to be taking to God. Things like, even good things, like we said, our phones, our TVs, social media, video games, all of these things in their proper context can help us wind down. But how many knows that Facebook or Netflix or Fortnite is not good if it messes up your marriage, if it makes you get bad grades, or it makes you lose sleep at night because you can't get off of it to get real rest? It's not good if it is a means to help you ignore your responsibilities. What it then becomes is an excuse to avoid our life and our plan of God. Now, why? All of these things serve a purpose, whether good or bad. None of them, listen, actually have the ability to give you rest. The only thing, the only person that you can run to is Jesus, and he can give you rest. And if it becomes this thing where you take things that can help you decompress and you let it turn into something that causes you to avoid your problems, then really what you're doing is, when you're trying to give up burdens, you're actually shouldering yourself with another burden. You may go to something to distract you, and you may go to something to help you unwind, but only Jesus can give you rest. So listen, are you getting rest by the things that you're taking part of, by the hobbies you include of, whether it's golf or whatever? Are you getting rest, or are you causing yourself more stress under the guise of detachment? The number two thing he says in this verse is this: take my yoke. So Jesus says, instead of detach from something, attach to me. We all know, everybody that's maybe been in church or in a farm atmosphere for a second knows that a yoke was used to yoke two oxen together. And what it would do was it helped multiply their strength. It would cause synergy. It would multiply the energy used to complete the task. And Jesus is saying, you can yoke to me and we'll multiply the energy that you need. You'll get the energy that you need from me if you yoke to me, not to other things. Jesus will cause your strength to multiply, but if you yoke to something that doesn't help you, like sin or like substance abuse or like a hobby that you get too steeped into, it will, instead of helping you to attach, it will cause you to bear more weight than you were built to bear. Let me tell you something. When farmers yoke oxen together, they don't yoke a live ox to a dead ox, right? Because how much more weight now does the live ox have to bear because he's dragging around something that can't help him? And I think that's the thing that we face under the guise of trying to, oh, I just need a break. Well, I just need to unwind. I just need to de-stress. And we yoke ourselves to something that makes it the weight that we have to bear worse and makes the weight that we weren't meant to bear. And many turn to a yoke of religion. And we will do that if we're not careful, a yoke of rules, a yoke of regulations that actually does not produce a fruitful relationship between us and Jesus. In fact, James said that the only beneficial religion, the only kind of religion that's pure and undefiled and acceptable before God, is when you care for widows and orphans. Why? Because religion means I'm conforming to an outer code. So if you're going to conform to an outer code, the best one that you could do is to be a father to the fatherless. But other than that, religion, conforming to an outer code, here's what it does. It yokes us to rules and standards that when we think we're meeting them, we think we're doing good. And what it does is it draws us away from actually having that relationship with God, from actually having that fellowship with God that Jesus restored unto us. Now, you can go, listen, you can go without makeup and you can put your hair in a bun and you not wear shorts and you don't have to go to the movies and you don't have to watch TV and all those things. And you can do all these things to try to be right. But at the end of the day, all religion does is shoulder you with the burden of trying to be righteous, even though it's impossible for you to be righteous without the imputed righteousness of Jesus. So when you take the yoke of religion, it hinders development and growth in a relationship with God by getting you to conform to an outer code instead of being postured to seek his face and hear his voice. God doesn't want rubber stamp Christians coming out of the factory all the same. He gave you a purpose, he gave you an identity, and he wants you to discover that through fellowship and a relationship with him. And if you yoke yourself up with the yoke of religion, you'll beat all the rules and you'll check all the boxes thinking that that's what you'll get, and you'll miss it and you'll be shouldered with a greater burden. God wants us to be close. That's what a yoke does, is it causes closeness. When two ox are yoked together, you know one ox can probably smell the other ox. They probably know what the other ox's favorite kind of grass is to eat. Because closeness happens. And if we take the yoke of Jesus, then we yoke ourselves together to him, who the Bible says is a present help in the midst of trouble. Amen? Jesus' yoke is not a yoke of sin, and it is not a yoke of law, and it is not a yoke of regulations, but it is a yoke of grace. And that grace, the Bible says, is sufficient for us. Number three. This verse, Jesus tells us to learn from me. Now, could you be experiencing something or whatever it is, whatever stress you're facing? Jesus, here's the thing is, here's what it is. Jesus wants to teach you something. Jesus wants to reveal something to you with every problem that you face. So if you find yourself struggling or anxious or afraid, a good question for you to ask the Lord is, what are you trying to show me? What can I learn here? Our need is not to focus on the problem, but to focus on God and find God who puts himself in our problem. I didn't say he gives us the problem, but he comes and he puts himself in our problem, because problems, we all have them. John 16, Jesus tells us, in this world you will have problems. You will face trials, but take heart. I have overcome the world that gives you problems and gives you trials. So I can overcome the world. I have a problem. God puts himself in that problem. That's why he told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Say that with me. Say, his grace is sufficient for me. Grace to deliver you. And grace to sustain you. There are times where God will deliver us from problems we face. We ask God to come in and like a flood, he rushes in and delivers us. And then there are times that God will deliver us through a problem. Paul asked Jesus to relieve that burden that he had, the thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan that was buffeting him, bothering him, causing him stress. And Jesus responded to Paul by telling him, my grace is sufficient for you. It's sufficient to deliver you from it or to deliver you through it. And because he's rich in grace and mercy, he doesn't let problems come upon those who are his children for no reason. See, if you don't know God tonight, you're going to face problems. And if you do know God tonight, you're going to face problems. But if you know God, God will give a purpose and serve a purpose with your problem. The Bible says in Romans 8 that he works all things together for good for those who are called, or those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God assigns your problem a purpose. God assigns your problem something to help you with. God reveals your problem is actually to be an employee on his payroll. And he's got it working for you. But so you need to ask God, if you're going through a problem, if you're facing an issue, God, what are you trying to teach me? Some of you, I know at Fall Retreat, I told the testimony of Levi and how when he was born, he was 10 days old. He wouldn't wake up one morning, or that morning that he was 10 days old. He wouldn't wake up. He wouldn't move. He wouldn't eat. He wasn't responding. So we rushed him to the hospital. They first thought it was maybe his sugar. His blood sugar was too high. They tried to get a blood sample. They couldn't. So they brought in a doctor to try to do a spinal tap. They couldn't get any fluid off of him. And finally, the pediatric ICU doctor had to come in, and he did two more spinal taps on him before he could finally get some fluid or a sample off of him. And the whole time, Levi laid there and didn't move and didn't flinch or nothing. How many know if you get a spinal tap, you're going to move? So it turned into a pretty scary moment. We didn't know what was going to happen. He ended up getting diagnosed with meningitis and had to stay in the hospital for 14 days on the constant stream of antibiotics. But here's the thing that happened. That moment was so scary, because it was just the doctor trying to make it happen and the nurse in there. It freaked me out. I finally told Jessica, I was like, why are you standing in the hall? This is kind of too much. And I remember watching this happen. I'll never forget this as long as I live. Watching them try to drive that needle and crank on it to try to get fluid off of him. And I remember being scared to death, and I remember turning towards the door thinking I needed to call somebody. And in that moment, it wasn't like light shone and woof, a giant vision from heaven appeared. But in that moment, I could see something. I saw a road, and I heard the scripture in my spirit that says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In that moment, I saw like this car in the right lane, and I knew that that was me. I knew that that had something to do with me, my mind, my life. And in the left lane, I saw a car that I knew was God's peace, passing what I knew. That's what the left lane's for. See, Jesus even knows it. Okay? And I saw it past my understanding, and I knew in that moment God was going to take care of him. And he did. He had a miraculous recovery. And even a few years later at a checkup, they told the doctor that was one of the attending physicians while he was in the hospital, saw him, I think it was his 2-year checkup. Or 3-year checkup, one. And he told him, he said, little boy, don't you know that the things that you faced, other kids wind up blind and deaf and can't walk from it when they went to the degree of sickness you went through. And he said, little boy, you're a miracle. But here's the thing. While that's powerful and wonderful, God used that situation. He didn't cause that situation. I don't believe that God wants ill for his children. I don't believe that God is a horrible judge that casts rough things on you, but I do believe God uses those situations. And here's the thing, in that moment, God showed me how he'll walk with me through everything. He helped me to understand. I had never had a greater revelation of what it means to know God as a father. A father who will walk hand in hand with you, who will yoke himself to you to get you through this life, who cares about us, who is that present help in the time of need. I know him now as that. And I'm not to tell you that I'm some kind of Superman or anything, because I didn't know what was going on. But I'll tell you something. The whole time that he was in the hospital, I had an overwhelming sense of peace. I remember people coming in, family members that would come in panicked, worried, is he going to die? And I almost felt stupid because I was just like, because I just knew that God had taken care of him, and I knew what God showed me And because of that, God has ever, I feel like ever since then, helped me to understand a greater measure of his peace, because God is good. The Bible, the Psalm says God is good and he does good things. And it's a good thing that you don't have to go through a trial that God doesn't use. It's a good thing that God loves us enough that we don't have to go through circumstances that he can't take and employ them for our benefit and to help further us into the purpose that he's created for. Amen. Now listen, he's given you three steps in this verse. And all of them are action steps that Jesus gives us. Why is that important? Because Jesus is illustrating to us that when we face stress, we can remain in it or we can find rest. Listen, as we choose. Remaining, okay, not having stress, but remaining in stress is your decision. And that sounded about as much fun to say as it did to hear it just now. Because I got nothing but open eyes and nothing but kind of amens. So I'm going to say it again. Remaining in stress is your decision. It is what you choose. You can have stress or you can have rest. So now, what does that mean? You're not stressed. You're not stressed out. You're not pulling your hair out. You're not anxious because of what's happening around you. You're stressed out because of how you're relating to what's happening around you. Stress isn't because of what's around you, but because of what's in you. You can choose rest. You're not stressed out because of your job. You're not stressed out because of your spouse. You're not stressed out because of your kids. You're not stressed out because of your money. Listen, you are stressed out because of misappropriated devotion. Hallelujah. You're stressed out because you're giving the attention that's due to God to your circumstance. You're taking the heart that is to be turned towards God and giving it to what's stressing you out. We're giving our attention, our heart, to something besides Jesus. And Jesus is the only one that can help us to know rest. We experience stress because of what we let into our heart. We guide our heart towards something because of what's in our heart. It's like a rotating game. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, we talked about it last time I preached, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And if something is causing you to focus on what's stressing you out and causing you anxiety, then chances are what's flowing out of your heart is what you let in it in the first place. Amen. Hallelujah. We haven't guarded our heart from the things that exacerbate the feelings of stress and anxiety. If anxiety and stress flow freely out of our life, it's because at some point we've let our guard down and let something in that wasn't meant to be there. We have to turn our attention, turn our eyes, turn our heart back to Jesus, the one who can give us rest. Now here's two reasons that we get stressed. Okay, if you have your Bible, we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 5, or it'll be on the screen. 1 Peter 5. Verse 6 says, "It's humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." Two reasons you get stressed. The first one is because you keep anxiety. The Bible says that anxiety is to be cast. It is to be thrown. It is to be heaved away. Okay? It's like hot potato. Get rid of it. Throw it out. It's to be cast and it is not to be kept. And the reason that you can cast it on the Lord is because the Bible says he cares for you. He's concerned about what you're facing. He's concerned about your circumstance. He wants to know about what you're going through. And often we find ourselves in the posture that God has bigger things to do than deal with my little thing. But let me tell you something, that's not true. In fact, according to you, God doesn't have any other problems besides the ones that you give him. Because if Chase has a problem that he needs to give to God, how many knows that it doesn't matter about that? I can still give my problem to God. Because as far as God's concerned, he's concerned about you. And he wants you to cast your anxiety upon him. Your problem is not too simple, and your problem is not bothersome to God. Amen? Number two, the reason you have stress is because you have an ego problem. I bet that feels good. It felt good when God just told me that, and I wrote it down, and now I have to preach it to you. We're stressed out because of our ego. We've kept these issues. Here's what we do, okay? We get a problem, well, better fix it, better get to work, better take care of it. And we find ourselves under more stress and with more issues, with more problems, because we try to fix it, we try to take control of a situation. When the Bible says in this verse, humble yourself. What does that mean? Because it means that you need to quit trying to handle things that you weren't meant to handle. If something comes up, often the first step, like I said, that we take is, I got to get to work, got to take care of it. When the first step that we should take is run to God and cast that anxiety on him and find out what he has to say about it. Well, today's pretty busy, Brother Storm. You don't know what it's like. Well, if your day's too busy that you can't cast a problem on God, then your day's just too busy, and it needs to get less busy. And you need to make sure that you appropriate and discipline your life to where you can have the time with him to enter into his rest and avoid being stressed. Humble yourselves, the Bible says. We have to humble ourselves. Listen. If we want to ask for help. How many of you have in here have ever, you don't have to show your hands because it may be kind of embarrassing, but how many of you have in here have ever been broke and had to ask your mom or dad or somebody for some money? As an adult, not a child. As a child, it's no big deal. Hey, can I have some Coke money, something for lunch, whatever. But then all of a sudden, you can't pay your light bill, you can't pay the insurance bill, and you don't have any money, and you got to go up to mom and dad and ask them for money. Guess what? You've experienced humility in that moment. And God is saying that that is a good feeling, to humble yourselves, to ask for help, to not hold something that you're not meant to hold. But he's telling us, bring it to me or bring it to one of my children. Ask somebody for help, but often we don't because we're scared to. We're afraid of what people will think. We're scared of we're afraid that our pride holds us back because we're afraid of what somebody might say. But the Bible says, humble yourselves. And most importantly, what does that mean? It means stop taking God's place to try to handle your problem. You need to get off that throne. I'm sure that's real good when we talk about, well, I'm stressed out, you don't understand. Listen, it's the thing that subtly kills us. It's the thing that the enemy tries to trap us with. We don't think that we're having an ego problem. We don't think that we're having ill intent, but really, we're having an issue with letting somebody have control, with letting somebody know and letting God know that we have a problem that we can't fix. And we have to get off of the throne that belongs to God and let him be seated on the throne of our hearts. And we can cast our anxiety on him and we can let him take care of us. Because ego keeps unnecessary burdens on us. It's the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 18. The Bible says that Moses was helping the people day and night. The Bible says that his father-in-law, Jethro, came up to him and saw that Moses was dealing with people from morning till evening. And he asked Moses, he says, why are you doing this? This is not good. And Moses, listen, this is Moses' response in Exodus 18, verse 15. Moses answered him, because the people come to me and to seek God's will. And whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to what? Me. And I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions. They come to me. I'm the one that has to fix this. I'm the one who has to take care of it. And Jethro tells him, That's not good. What you're doing is not good. You, and he tells them this, he says, you and these people will, who come to you will only wear yourselves out. Because if we try to maintain this posture, Moses, if you try to keep trying to fix everything for everybody and try to keep fixing all your own problems, you're going to burn out and you're going to burn everybody else out on the way down. And he tells them that the better way to go is to teach them God's ways and how they are to live. Listen, parents, teach your kids the ways of God. Don't spend your life helping them to shirk responsibility and shoulder the burden for them. Help them to grow. Help them to know who God is. Pray for them. Teach them about God and his ways so that they could grow up and help and have Jesus to go to when they have anxious times. Adults, don't take responsibility away from God that belongs to him. Don't wear yourself out under the guise of hard work and dedication when God is available to help you. And God has put people in your life like Moses, like Jethro did for Moses, when he brings wisdom and help to make his life easier, to make him able to walk in the plan of God that he had for him. But that's what happens, just like Moses, when we let our ego take control. We try to fix our problems and we don't cast our anxiety on the Lord. And I'm almost done if y'all want to come up. If we can stop trying to control everything, if we can let him do his will, the Bible says he will give us rest. Some of us tonight are carrying burdens that the Lord did not put on you. And that, listen, that doesn't mean that God will not burden you. You do have responsibilities. You do have things that you go through. God burdens us with the need for salvation, the need for deliverance of people. He wants us to intercede for people, to stand in the gap for those who are lost and dying. There is a burden that God puts on you, but the Bible says that burden is easy, and that burden is light. And it is a burden altogether different than one that does not belong to you. So some of us, listen, need to tonight assess spiritually, what has us so stressed out? What has us full of anxiety? And listen, when we assess those things, we need to take the opportunity to repent of it. Why is that important? We think of repent. I've got to repent from some great sin. I've got to have the Lord's forgiveness. Well, repentance does mean forgiveness, but you know what else it means? It means to change your mind. More specifically, it means to get a new mind. I thought about it this way, but as the Lord has revealed to me that he cares for me and will take this burden off of me, now I've got to think differently. I've got to think about my problems differently. And when the stress arises, I have to think. I have to be in repentance. I have to think differently about how I'm going to face it from day to day. We need to repent. Change our thinking about the aspects of our life that stress us out. And the Bible says that has to come with humility. Humility and understanding that you cannot do what the Lord can. Humility and understanding that the Lord desires to help us, to take care of us. Because while he is a father who corrects, and while he is a father that the Bible says is steadfast and steady, he is also a father that cares and loves us. Can you bow your heads with me tonight? As we begin to pray, I just want you to search your heart. And we're going to begin to sing, and just we're going to take a little time. If you feel like coming to the front and praying and having somebody pray with you, or you want to kneel at this altar and kneel at your seat, that'd be great. But I want you to think about, am I facing stressful situations? Are there things in my life that have me kind of shook up? The Lord is saying to you tonight, if you can turn and bring those things to me, I will take care of you and I will give you rest. And Jesus, we ask you tonight, Holy Spirit, we come and we ask, God, that you would begin to move in this place, begin to move in our hearts. Help us, God, to not carry an undue burden, but to bring it to you. To cause our life, God, to approach you as the one who cares for us and takes care of us. Who takes our burdens away. Who takes, God, the cares of this world that weigh us down. You, God, bring fulfillment and rest to us. I pray, God, that we wouldn't burden ourselves from things that are not from you. That we wouldn't be burdened down, God, with things that don't belong to us, but God, we would let you have control. We would let you take the reins tonight, God. And Lord, I pray tonight as we understand this and we assess our life, we will see that you're able to do this, God, and we will give these things to you tonight in Jesus' name. As they begin to sing, if you would like to come up for prayer, if you'd like to kneel at your seat or just worship at your seat, I pray that you would begin to just start casting your anxiety.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.